Yeah, and we're going to get started tonight. Like I always say, death cannot be escaped from. And many have deceived themselves in thinking that doctors can save lives. But the truth is, there has never been a doctor that has saved one single life. All a doctor can do is help relieve symptoms temporarily to some future date. There has only been one doctor who has the ability to save anybody. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who rescued us from the grave. Only he saves us from death and destruction, my brothers and sisters. What we need is we need to be saved. And then Lord Jesus Christ gave us some good news, and that is the gospel by which we are saved. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. And we just shouldn't shout those words. We must believe that by faith. We must have that deep down in our inner man, our soul, and believe it by faith that what Christ accomplished, what he accomplished at Calvary's cross. We have to believe that by faith. Now tonight, before we get on our subject, faith does not come from our feelings or emotional experiences. Many saints in the body of Christ, the one new man, the church, mistake emotional feelings for true spiritual mindedness. When they get excited, they feel close to God, or they claim they feel the Spirit moving. Some people will only attend churches where they get the emotional high. So some churches appeal to such thinking by deliberately arranging activities that provoke excitement and emotional stimulation. They intentionally use such emotionalism to draw crowds. Consider some examples: beautiful cathedrals with fancy artwork to create a mood that people enjoy, exciting. Many of these assemblies have thrilling music with instruments and special singing groups, or with hypnotic rhythm that arouse, excite, entertain, and move the audience emotionally. They have external rituals such as lighting candles and dimming the lights to create a mood. They have tongue speaking and healing testimonies that excite people emotionally. Often it is the emotions involved that lead people to desire these gifts, regardless of what the Bible says about the true purpose and the use of the gifts. The clapping, the shouting, the continued amens, and praise the Lord. Such activities are often deliberately used by preachers to stir up emotions and excitement. Many think these activities are highly spiritual, but honest observations show that they are just natural emotions which appeals to man's carnal, his physical desire for excitement and thrills. They are not truly spiritual at all, but are mere externals. They motivate people by means of emotional excitement, very similar to what attracts people to ball games and rock concerts. People seek a good time. My brothers and sisters, faith comes from hearing. Do we understand that? And hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by feelings or by praying for emotional experiences. Psalms 119:105. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to our path. The Bible, not feelings, shows us the proper way to go. We should remember that. How did the apostle convince people what is right or wrong? Did they say to pray for a feeling of peace and assurance? Did they arrange emotional meetings with exciting music, shouting, clapping, and prayers at the mourner's bench? No, they just reasoned with people from the Scriptures. We too should persuade people not by telling them to follow their emotions, but by giving them reasons, evidence from God's word, rightly divided. The Scriptures were written to provide the evidence people need in order to believe and be saved. Many false prophets are in the world. How do we know who speaks the truth? Not by feeling, but by comparing what men teach to the true gospel recorded in the word of truth, rightly divided, 2 Timothy 2:15. What we need is not an emotional experience, but a knowledge of the Scriptures that teach, correct, instruct, and provide us to all good works. Now tonight, Should we ask God to stop the coronavirus? Religious people far and wide have actually assembled to repeatedly ask Almighty God to stop the coronavirus from spreading. They are still begging him to intervene and mitigate its effects and help us know how to treat the ill. Again, this is an utter failure to understand and complete the disregard of what Scripture says about the Lord's care and dealing with man. Remember, it's not a question of whether or not God can stop the coronavirus. He can. The question is, what is God doing today? Consider these two verses. Firstly, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. Secondly, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. As members of the church, the body of Christ, having trusted Jesus Christ alone as our personal Savior, God has sealed us with and by his Holy Spirit. Our inner man is forever secure. Praise God. We will never experience hell and the second death in the lake of fire. However, we have never been promised physical protection. Again, remember Paul himself experienced personal threats, including physical illness, limitations, deprivation. Paul, he spoke about that in 1 Corinthians 4th chapter 9 through 13. He said, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, that it was pointed unto death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscorns of all things until this day. My brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ promised us not physical help, but spiritual help. In Philippians 4:11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, whether possessing much or having nothing, whether sick or healthy, we can endure all things. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ promises not physical help, but spiritual help. He is working in our inner man as we walk by faith in these simple truths. My brothers and sisters, Ephesians 13:16-21, if you go and read that, you will hear what Paul had to say, that the Father God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now here's what the Apostle Paul prayed for, fellow Christians, because this is what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. Now, we need to get an understanding. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This verse describes our physical body being vulnerable to disease, aging, and death. Look at yourself tonight. You're aging. You don't look the same like you did 20 years ago. You're aging. Now, let us claim physical healing in James' name and so on. In fact, we read the opposite. It doesn't tell us that. We were reading nothing about God would spare us from illness and that we can claim those physical healings in Jesus' name and so on. If you read most folks, if you just read sometime who the book, no doubt, if you read who the book is addressed to, you read James, read the first verse, you'll see. In fact, we read the opposite. At creation, God imparted an immune system to the first human being, and we have inherited it. It does not need to be intervened and cure us or stop any illness from reaching us. If our immune system is still not strong enough, if we get sick and die, so what? Paul says it is far better to go home to be with the Lord. Huh? So if Corona takes us out of here, it is far better to go home to be with the Lord. Now, I'm quite sure mature saints can say that, because some folks say, man, you sound crazy talking like that. No. It is far better. We will receive new glorified bodies at our resurrection anyway. At this point, someone will ask about the healing miracles in Scripture. We will answer that now. The physical healing program that operated during Christ's earthly ministry is currently paused. God's earthly kingdom, in which there is no physical sickness, in Isaiah 33:24, Isaiah 35:4-6, hope you go back and read, Matthew 8:16-17, that program is delayed. Why? Because the wrath attached to that kingdom has also been delayed. The kingdom program, including the wrath, has been postponed so God could pour out grace and mercy on the entire world. Our ultimate healing as members of the Church of Body of Christ will come at the rapture. When Christ returns to take us out of this present even world, we receiving glorified and resurrected bodies that will never be subject to sin, to decay, or death. You can read that, because I want you to do some Bible study. Go read 1 Corinthians 15:51-58, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Paul told us to comfort one another when we come together, when loved ones have passed and gone on. Romans 8:23-24. In Christ, we have been given grace, a capacity to endure everything life throws at us, including physical illness and persecution. It is in our troubles and trying times that we can come to better appreciate God's love for us. Difficulties are not something to flee. Grace teaches us to find value in suffering. Spirituality, he provides us with peace by showing us that our illness and infirmities are not punishment, nor due to a lack of faith, unconfessed sin, or less love from him. He shows us that suffering are merely momentarily. Light afflictions, 2 Corinthians 4:17. And that tribulations produce patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans 5:3-4. He teaches us that we can be content in whatever situation we find ourselves. We just read that in Philippians 4:11-12, and that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. No, God hasn't promised us physical healing in this dispensation, but he has given us much, much more. Eternal spiritual blessings which can never be taken away. The proof and the measure of God's love for us is always Calvary, that God himself became a man and never ceasing to be God, to die in our place, to pay in full the wages of sin for us, even when we were yet sinners in rebellion against him. That's Romans 5:8. To grasp these truths and submit to the teaching of the Holy Spirit is to come to the place where we no longer have to ask why, because the Bible tells us why. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do we understand that, my brothers? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, 5 minutes, this one. Is the coronavirus another sign of the times? The coronavirus, one of the signs of the times, telling us that Jesus' return is near. A lot of folks taking that stance. Over the years, this ever-popular, non-cynical, Gentile-seeking-signs mentality has become dull or bored. Well, that's not what's happening today. Bible skeptics have taken full advantage of Christians employing this statement. So we are still waiting for Jesus, are we? How many signs will it take before he comes back? Here again is how our refusal to handle the body, the Bible, dispensationally, has caused us to look unlearned in the scriptures and thus encourage people to scorn the Holy Spirit. Firstly, Gentiles should not be looking for signs. The Jews require signs. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Secondly, Matthew chapter 24 in no way describes anything God is doing today. People are grabbing verse 7 and applying it today, and this is dangerous. That verse, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. This concerns Israel's prophetic program, the events. Can't you see it? Sign indications. That speaks of Christ's second coming. As Christians, we are not looking for the second coming. That is his wrath. We should be looking for his coming to take the church, the body of Christ, out of this present evil world. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When our Apostle Paul wrote about events making the last days, he mentioned specific sins rather than specific signs. He wrote 2 Timothy 3:1-5, specific sins. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. That's Paul was talking about our last days in the body of Christ, specific sins, what you would be seeing, rather than specific signs. Whatever Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24, it is unrelated to what Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy. Otherwise, Paul would have quoted Jesus' earthly ministry here. Two comings of Christ are in view here, and we should be mindful never to combine the two. We thank God for the word tonight. We pray that you were edified. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word of truth, right divide tonight. We pray as those who listen in, they were encouraged to get in the book and study your word, your specific way that you have designed for us, and that's right divided. And we pray that they were enlightened in the Holy Scriptures, and we pray that they were edified as they studied together and as we studied together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now,